at 6:20. I'm Justin Martin. This is KERA News. For months, allegations mounted that Baylor University had mishandled accusations of sexual assaults by football players. The Waco campus said nothing until yesterday, when it demoted President Kenneth Starr and fired head football coach Art Briles. Baylor also released an independent report that found administrators failed to investigate sexual assault claims and they retaliated against someone who reported being assaulted. Baylor is the largest Baptist school in the U.S., and ESPN reporter Paula Levine says that Baylor's honor code meant some students felt discouraged to report their assaults. Levine has been reporting on the Baylor assaults. She talked with Texas Standard, the public radio news magazine.
You know, we heard this from the victims, too. There's a sort of reluctance to even come and report some of these things because having sex outside of marriage unto itself, drinking, smoking marijuana, all those things are against Baylor's honor code. And I think women who, when they reported these things, the first sort of feedback they would get is, well, why were you in his room? You know, why were you drinking? You know, and this, and ignoring the fact that they were saying that they were raped.
Texas Monthly has been reporting on sexual assaults at Baylor. Freelancer Jessica Luther is one of the journalists following the story. Luther talked with Becky Fogle of KUT, the public radio station in Austin, about the firing of Baylor's head football coach and how what happened at Baylor could affect college sports.
So are you surprised at all by the move that Baylor University has taken in firing Art Briles, something that I don't know if people necessarily expected?
I am surprised. This is unprecedented as far as I know. The closest thing we have as a corollary would be Montana a few years ago, but that was even different. They were under federal investigation at the time. They just chose not to renew the contracts. In this case, you know, and it was Montana football. Like in this case, we're talking about a team that could go for the national championship next year, that Briles is under contract until 2023. I mean, this is a really big deal to buy him out at this point, to basically punish him for what happened. At the same time, we've been reporting on Baylor for months. We'll have a lot more to say next week. And based on what we knew, I probably would have been sad had there not been accountability at the with the football team.
And you mentioned, for example, that Texas is not Montana. How significant is this move on Baylor's part at this very hot Texas football program to get rid of a coach who's been winning a lot of games for them?
Really, at this point, it can't be overstated what Baylor has done here. I mean, holding Briles accountable for apparently turning away when he knew of things that his football players were doing and allowing this behavior to continue, you know, violence to continue, and that he actually has now paid for that with his job is just, it's gigantic.
And do you think in this case, the Regents, they saw the report from Pepper Hamilton and had presentations? Do you think that to some extent this is an overreaction, or that the offenses were so grave that they had to make a move like this? Like, how much was the Regents' hands forced by this occurrence?
It doesn't feel like an overreaction based on what they released. It was the finding of fact for, it's about 13 pages, so it's not the full report. And it alone, the 13 pages is incredibly damning about what Baylor football was and was not doing. I mean, we're talking about, there's stuff in there about a gang rape that basically was shoved under the rug, about retaliation against a woman who came forward. I mean, just really terrible things on top of all of the stuff that we already know publicly about football players.
What is happening at Baylor? Do you think that it is isolated, or does it speak to a larger culture of football programs across the country, collegiate football programs across the country?
Yeah, I actually think it's a bigger problem with college football. I actually wrote a whole book about this that's coming out in September called Unsportsmanlike Conduct, and it looks at this phenomenon. It's about college football and sexual assault across the board. And so for me, Baylor is just a symptom of a larger problem, and part of why it's so shocking that they actually held a head coach accountable. Like, I've just never seen anything like this, and I've literally seen all of it. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, other football coaches, I hope, are, you know, if they're doing the same stuff that was happening at Baylor, that they are nervous at this moment.
That was freelance journalist Jessica Luther talking to KUT's Becky Fogle. The Kimball Art Museum has a new exhibition of three French brothers who were so successful in 17th century Paris, their paintings hung in Notre Dame Cathedral. Yet, the trio remains so mysterious and unknown, this is only the second major museum exhibition of their work. I sat down with Art and Sieg's Jerome Weeks to talk about the painters known as the Brothers Lenin.
Justin, what do art museums do? What is an art museum's function?
Conserve and prepare art for viewing by the masses.
Okay. But museums, the important ones anyway, also do research. We should think of these things as research institutions, just like labs or historic archives. And that kind of research is what the new exhibition at the Kimball is all about. It's called The Brothers Lenin, and it's about three brothers who were prominent painters in Paris in the early 17th century.
I mean, so what kind of research are we talking about here? X-rays, chemical tests?
All that, but even more basic. You know the details you see on museum walls next to an artwork?
You mean who painted this? What's the title?
Right,
date,
yeah, all that data. Well, with the Lenin brothers, even just that gets complicated because Antoine, Louis, and Mathieu, the three brothers, never signed their own names. They always signed just Lenin. So they were like a corporate brand. But that makes it very hard to figure out which brother painted what, whether they collaborated.
But what difference does it make as long as we know it's by them?
Let me show you something.
Ooh, that's a big book, Jerome.
This is the more than 450-page catalog for the exhibition. And let me show you this painting. What do you see?
Oh, this is a nativity scene. Got the Christ child. A fellow here is holding a torch. I like this. Really deep shadows here like that. And it's kind of soft, but yeah.
Okay, let me show you the second painting. And what do you see here?
It looks like soldiers of some type, at least men in armor. There's a card game going on. Oh, and somebody has, is that a large knife? Things are about to get rough here.
Right, it looks like there might be a quarrel over the card game.
Something's about to happen. Yeah.
Okay, well now let's look at the paintings back to back. The card game is sharp and clear. Everything is detailed. But as you said, the nativity, it's all soft and dark and shadowy. And yet these were painted roughly the same year by the same artist.
They look so different.
Right. Throughout the Brothers Lenin, you see these differences in styles. At the same time, let me show you another painting. It's a religious painting. We have two young boy angels. Now keep your eye on the light-haired angel because 2 years later, we have a peasant family sitting down to eat.
Oh, it's one of the angels right there.
He's right. He's now an urchin sitting down.
He's looking a little dirty, like he hasn't, yeah.
So we're seeing the same models over and over again. And as you go through this exhibition and you notice these faces and bits and pieces, it's like seeing this giant jigsaw puzzle.
So what are you saying? Is it like an early form of copy and paste?
Well, I'm saying two things. One is the Lenin were a factory, an artist's studio. They were like a production line, and they recycled those things, those models that worked. At the same time, they also looked to new styles, to what was fashionable. This is what successful professional artists did in the 17th century, and still do. Second, this exhibition and this catalog represent a groundbreaking attempt by the Kimball and the San Francisco Art Museums to provide at least tentative solutions to the mysteries of the Lenin. This is a big chart trying to map out all the connections amongst the 65 paintings by the Lenin.
Aside from this really interesting look into how these paintings were made, why would your average museum goer care?
Well, it's risky. There are lovely paintings here, but the exhibition is most likely to appeal to art fans and historians. The museum's purpose is really to lay out this research. And for some people, like yourself...
This is really fascinating. Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Justin.
The Brothers Lenin, painters of 17th century France, continues at the Kimball through September 11th. And we've got cloudy skies later this evening. There's a 20% chance of rain then, with a low in the mid-70s. Tomorrow should be sunny, a slight chance of showers, with the high around 89. It's currently 79 degrees in Dallas, 83 in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.